This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com. It's the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert.
Folks, my next guest tonight is a two-time Tony Award winner and a Broadway legend. She now stars in Company on Broadway, which just earned her yet another Tony nomination. Please welcome to The Late Show, Patti LuPone! Hey, kiddo. Good to see you again.
And you.
It's been a long, long time.
Long time. You got me through the pandemic, I have to say, and all sorts of rooms you were in.
Oh, yes. We migrated. It's a movable feast. Okay, I want to talk about something that got a lot of attention. Earlier this month, you were doing a talk back at the end of Company.
Look at these wonderful people with their masks on.
Isn't that lovely? And, yes, these people get it.
Yes, right.
So, and you made news. You told an audience member during this talk back to put their mask on inside the theater because they weren't wearing it properly.
Right.
And really making some trouble with this. We have a little clip right here, Jim.
Put your mask over your nose. That's why you're in the theater. That is the rule. If you don't want to follow the rule, get the out.
Well,
yeah.
So, what happened? How did it get to that point? Because you're a lovely person.
Sometimes.
What led up to that moment?
Well, for instance, we are now used to looking out at the audience, and you see people with masks on. You know, I see the eyes. Usually you see the whole face, but I see the eyes. I know what's going on stage. This was a talk back. There were about 100 people in the audience. So when you see everybody except for two people, this woman and her half-asleep husband, with the mask off, you just immediately see it.
Sure.
But what led up to it, and it's what nobody covered in the press, was what she did when our COVID safety managers came down to tell her to put it on correctly. She took it off, waved it in the air, and then put it over her eyes. So she was mocking the mandate and mocking the COVID safety managers who get abuse every night.
Of course.
The ushers go up and down the aisle. And we just got an email today. Somebody else is out in our, you know, we're not out of this. We're not out of it at the Jacobs Theater.
Wow. Do you need me to go in?
Wouldn't that be great? Do you know how much they would love that?
Now, did you anticipate this? It made such a splash. Now you can buy merchandise that has it on it. You can have Who Do You Think You Are? Patti LuPone.
Which seems to be my go-to.
Yes, who do you think you
are? Yeah, it just seems to be my go-to. I have to come up with another expression. Mm. I don't know.
No, you're back on Broadway with this beautiful revival of Company. And I got this, here we go. Here's the playbill for it right there. People may not know, you and I did this show together with the New York Philharmonic.
We certainly did.
In 2011. This was, to me, kind of the definitive production right here. There we are. Here we are together. That's you right there. And that young guy right there is me. And most terrifying thing I've ever done. Most terrifying thing I've ever done, yeah.
It is terrifying.
Yes.
You have 10 days to absorb a musical, and then you have 1 hour to be on the stage of the New York Philharmonic because the stagehands are so strict, right?
Right.
With how much time you can spend on the stage.
You've also done it in the West End, and now here you are doing it again. What What's different about how you approach the role, or does it change with each production?
It does. It changes with the direction. Okay. And Marianne Elliott, who is the brilliant director of this concept of Bobby being female, I'd never worked with her before, and I wanted to work with her. And it's just her approach with actors, and she is an actor's director. And this is probably my favorite interpretation of Joanne, because she's funny. She gets to laugh, you know. And she's not doer, or is it dower?
You're the legend of Broadway. Who am I to say? Now, the company, for those who don't know, was written by Stephen Sondheim. And to honor him, there are special playbills of Stephen Sondheim for the lovers and the collectors out there. This is the man that I met and knew. And here he is. As a very young man. And I'm curious, I lucky enough to interview him a couple times to do that. Shortly before he died, interviewed him right there. And
I remember that interview.
It was deeply, though I didn't do much of his work, deeply influential to me. You did 6 Sondheim musicals, and I'm curious, what was it like to work with him? What did you learn from him?
Well, I didn't create a role. Recreated. And it's always intimidating when someone that you deeply respect and are deeply intimidated by shows up in the rehearsal room, because mm-hmm. you just want, or I just want, approval. I want a validation of my interpretation. And he was a taskmaster. He was, his notes were at times extremely harsh, but when they weren't harsh and they were approving, uh-huh. I could cry now. It was sort of, when he died, my first thought was, who will make me better? Mm-hmm. And no one. I mean, no one. Mm-hmm. He had such... David Mamet and Stephen Sondheim are my strongest influences in my profession in theater. I don't think there'll ever be someone as complex as Stephen to influence the interpreters of his work and musical theater.
Coming up, Nathan Lane.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Hey, everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate, though. Because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week, I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Good to see you again. Thanks for joining us. My first guest tonight is a 3-time Tony Award winner who returns to Broadway this month in Gary, a sequel to Titus Andronicus. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Nathan Lane.
Thank you. Oh, thank you very much. Wow. Because I'm old now. I'm very old.
Thank you very much.
Oh, baby.
Thank you for being here.
Hi-ho, Steve Areno.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm old enough to know.
It's so nice to be back, especially with the Queer Eye cast. I think we're shooting... We're shooting for a very specific demographic tonight. It's like gay day at Disneyland.
I'm looking forward to it. I think I'm goofy.
When riding the Matterhorn takes on a whole new meaning. Hey!
That's my time.
Thank you.
Chicken.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. How have you been? You're such a busy man. Thank you for being here, first of all.
No, thank you. I'm honored to be asked back.
I'd like to get
something out of the way. It's a little embarrassing. I don't know if you've heard, but I was arrested as part of that college admissions scandal.
I did not know this.
Yes, I tried making some bribes to get my French bulldog into an elite obedience school. Mm-hmm. Cesar Millan University, you know it?
Oh.
CMU, yeah. Very
sure.
Elite.
Sure,
very.
Absolutely.
They teach them how to sit, stay, tie an ascot, mix daiquiris. Nice. Backgammon. They teach dogs backgammon. It was irresistible.
Really?
Please understand, she's adorable. She's just not very bright. She could barely pass a BuzzFeed quiz. And not only did I spend all this money, but I even got Neil deGrasse Tyson's dog to take the SATs for her. So I hope America has a big enough heart to forgive and forget.
I'm sure they will.
But you know what?
You're a national treasure.
Thank you, and so are you. And this tie, you're like the...
Want to touch it?
I do.
It has... Not only is it beautiful, but it has the feeling of Christmas wrapping paper.
No, you're like the best-dressed Walmart greeter ever.
Sure, I'm almost old enough. So I interrupted you.
No, it's your show. How things are so rough for you now. Well, yeah, but the thing is, it's spring, which is my favorite time of year. That's when I know it's time to clean out the panic room and put up the preserves. But more importantly, it's time for the return of Game of Thrones, ladies and gentlemen.
Soon, very soon.
Very.
2 weeks or 3 weeks.
That's right.
Like
Game
that,
of Thrones. It's amazing how they can shoot 6 episodes in just under 3 years.
I know. Where do
and
they
it's,
find
let's face it, it's the only show that can make incest seem trendy. It's so fantastic. It's got everything. Nudity, violence, dragons, people dressed in either robes, leather, or metal. Everybody's drinking wine like it's going out of style. It's like every party I went to in the 70s.
Well,
glad I took a big breath before that one.
That is, they're not the only ones who can make craziness and debauched behavior trendy. So could Shakespeare.
Oh,
Shakespeare wrote some absolutely bloody, horrific plays. Coriolanus and Titus Andronicus.
Yes.
And of course, now Gary.
Oh, yes.
Which are on Broadway.
Okay.
Gary. A sequel to Titus Andronicus.
Yes, written by a comedy written by the brilliant Taylor Mack. You've had him on.
Friend of the show, yes, Taylor
yes,
Mack.
Yes, when he's not
former.
In balloons and feathers and high heels, he's singing about the history of popular music. He's he's an extraordinary writer. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how familiar you are with Titus Andronicus. It's, I'm guessing, not much. But it was Shakespeare's first tragedy. And it's famous for being over-the-top, bloody, gory, violent. And, in fact, a kind of seemingly a parody, almost, of the Jacobean revenge tragedies. Mm-hmm. So you now go to geography.
there will be a test after tonight's interview.
But Taylor seems to feel we're living through a revenge comedy right now.
Oh, okay, sure.
And so the premise is he's taken these three minor characters from Titus, the clown, the maid, and the midwife, and he's named them Gary, Janice, and Carol. Mm-hmm. And they're starring in this so-called sequel. And Gary and Janice are assigned the job of doing the cleaning up the aftermath of the Titus Andronicus.
This is Gary with the cleanup, with the corpses, I think.
Oh, yes, yes. So we're... She and I are in a room filled with hundreds and hundreds of dead bodies. And so the question Taylor is posing is, why do we always have to clean up the messes that the people in power make? And by cleaning them up, are we perhaps enabling them and enabling history to repeat itself? And the bigger question is, what is the role of the artist in all this? Can we take all of the bad and turn it into something good? Or in this case, in Gary, can we take the tragedy and turn it into comedy? And I thought, well, this is what you do on a nightly basis.
Try.
You.
I'm no Gary.
You.
I'm no Gary.
No. Yeah. Because you're taking what you call the delicious idiocy of the current administration,
yes,
and turning it into great comedy, as well as providing, I think, a public service, mm-hmm, especially for those people who may only get their news from one particular source. Mm-hmm. So I applaud you and on the job you're doing.
Well, thank you. Very nice. I applaud you. Very nice of you to say thank you. What a lovely compliment from a lovely man. I want to compliment you for something that was in itself a compliment to you. Since the last time you and I spoke, you won yet another Tony, this time for your portrayal as Roy Cohn in the remounting of Angels in America.
Yes.
So, I mean, a Tony, that's a great review in a way. That's like the best review you can get on Broadway.
It's a very nice review.
Very nice. What are some of the craziest or the best or worst reviews you have gotten, because you've been on the stage for meow meow years. You know, meow meow.
Meow meow?
Meow meow. I was gonna say you've been on the stage for 40 years. I'm like, he's not gonna want me to say 40
meow,
years.
Meow meow.
Meow meow. Well, you know, meow meow.
Suddenly you turned into Catwoman for a minute.
Exactly. You know, what year were you born?
No.
I was born in 19.
No,
meow
I know.
Meow.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, yeah, meow, meow.
Believe me, I know. Yeah. It's pretty much the cover of AARP with Betty White soon.
Yes.
Just jogging. The worst review, I'll tell you, my friend, the great playwright Terrence McNally, got the worst review I have ever heard for his Broadway debut with a very sort of experimental play called And Things That Go Bump in the Night. Mm-hmm. And the reviewer said, it would have been better if Mr. McNally's parents had smothered him in his crib than writing this play.
Wow.
That's right. That's what he said.
That's kind of good to get one that bad. Because it was powerful.
Meow, whatever. Meow. Meow, meow, meow. No. No.
Yes.
Now, the one I got for my Broadway debut was this guy, Brendan Gill, in The New Yorker, said, I did a revival of Present Laughter, an old coward play with George C. Scott. That in itself was hilarious.
Wow.
And he said, although he garners much laughter and applause, Nathan Lane is a rank amateur who should never be allowed on the stage. And then I met him at an American Theater Wing seminar, and he told me he was a big fan.
Lovely to see you.
Nice to see you.
Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Pod Show listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on Wondery Plus.